This conference will now be recorded.
All right, I will call the meeting to order, and the first item should be our roll call. Steve, will you do that?
Councilman Nelson.
Here.
Councilman Fagerly.
Yeah.
Councilman Osmus.
Here.
Councilman Plowman. Three ayes, one absent. Also in attendance is Finance Director Oakens, City Administrator Grummets, Caris Health CEO Mike Schramm, and Caris Health CFO Andy Rawling. Also in attendance is Planner Sarah Swedberg.
All right, thank you, Mr. Oakens. Julie, just for your information, Andrew said he'd be a couple minutes late, so he should be joining us. So we'll go to our first item, which is our action item, and that is the Main Street budget. And Sarah, you're going to do that?
Yeah.
Right.
So we originally in our budget for 2020, we had a $4,000 grant from Main Street, Minnesota Main Street, or REPOS. And that's a typical grant that all of the Minnesota Main Street cities are awarded for some sort of unique one-time project. And our project that we had anticipated completing with that, with some of those funds, is what RESOS calls a downtown assessment. So that's taking our downtown and putting it in the light of this four-point approach that Main Street America has created. And it will couple very well with the comprehensive plan work, and we anticipate the findings and some of the action items that come out from this assessment to be included in the comprehensive plan, essentially like an update to the downtown master plan, but getting a little bit more specific on like policies that maybe would be helpful to downtown, or just quick, you know, what's the low hanging fruit versus what's the high hanging fruit. That project itself cost $10,000, and we had allocated an additional $6,000 from our city budget. However, due to the pandemic, RESOS has decided to change where those funds come from. And so they have allocated the $4,000 that we were to receive to our downtown businesses directly instead. And that went over really, really well. But that means that we're $4,000 short, and we had some money left over from 2019. And so for this particular project, we are proposing to reallocate $4,000 extra from our 2019 leftovers to be included in our 2020 budget. Additionally, what has come up is that you should have received, I believe Steve has sent out an even more updated amendment to our budget. So there's a change from the grant funding line of $4,000 to the city line, so we're gonna up our city budget by $4,000. And then we have partnered, Blue Cross Blue Shield would like to partner with us in this last year that they're in Wilmer, the Healthy Together Wilmer project. And they wanna do an art project kind of in addition to our Artists on Main Street program, but this is gonna be much larger scale than what the normal projects we award are. And so they would like to donate $16,000 to work with Wilmer Main Street and create a monument that visualizes our welcoming resolution. Again, this will be kind of part of our Artists on Main Street program, though there'll be a separate call for artists and program kind of put together behind that. It'll be community involved. We don't quite know what it'll look like, but it will end up as this monument visualizing that resolution and then being located downtown somewhere. So it would be staff recommendation to adopt this new amended 2020 Wilmer Main Street budget resolution.
I'll make a motion to adopt the new budget.
Second.
Audrey, are you still on? You may have to unmute.
I apologize. I'm busy talking away here. Thank you. the CAR report only shows the $4,000, so what should the correct amount be for the resolution?
The resolution is on the screen. It is an increase of $16,000 for the Blue Cross Blue Shield monument project grant. The original budget was $53,000. The amended budget is $69,000.
Okay. And the CAR report only shows an additional $4,000, Steve, the original thing there. So the difference between the two is a total of?
Of $12,000.
All right.
And in the CAR report, you'll notice the amount that was carried over from last year was in the tune of about $15,000.
Yes. All right.
We have this new grant just materialized. Sarah, was that today or late yesterday?
Yeah, it materialized late yesterday, but the budget amounts were finalized this morning.
Okay. All right. Thank you very much. So we have a motion and a second to adopt the budget, to amend the budget as presented. So is there any further discussion? All right, Steve, roll call.
Councilman Fagerly.
Aye.
Councilman Osmus.
Aye.
Councilman Nelson.
Aye.
3 ayes, 0 nays. Motion passes.
Thank you, Sarah. That's great news. You guys are doing great work, so thanks a lot.
Thank you. Steve?
Yes.
I believe I saw Andrew's picture on the screen.
I still only show 8 in attendance, but.
I show Andrew, so you may want to ask him to vote this last one.
Okay, I apologize. Councilman Plowman.
Yes, I'm sorry. I'm late to arrive, so you might not see my face, but my vote is aye.
4 ayes, 0 nays.
All right. Thank you. Welcome, Andrew. And we will go to our next item, which is the Caris Health update. And Mr. Schramm, are you going to start with that?
Yeah. Thank you. Andy Rowling, our Director of Finance, is on the line. And we have a overview of kind of the provisions of the operating lease, and I'll let Andy speak to that, and then we can answer questions.
Thank you.
Very good. Thanks, Mike. Good evening, everyone. A lot of new faces here. I know I've had a chance to meet a number of you, so looking forward to spending more time with everyone. What we have here, what I have for everyone today is really kind of the same information that we share with our Rice Memorial Hospital Board of Directors. And when we meet quarterly, we kind of take them through the provisions of the affiliation agreement and kind of where things sit and any updates that we may have for the group regarding those particular obligations that were kind of set forth in the agreement. So I was going to take everyone through that today and kind of let you know where we stand and any updates to those obligations. And if there's any questions, Mike and I would certainly be happy to share that with you. So you can see here we kind of have the various components of the affiliation agreement, and we'll just kind of walk through these one by one. And the first two are kind of connected, basically the rent payments or the monthly lease payments that we make to the city, and then the intergovernmental transfer payments. I had just checked with our accountant who handles these payments to the cities and to the city, and all of these are currently up to date. Before Bill Fenske left, he did walk us through kind of the calculations that are needed on an annual basis. We set those up on the first of every year, and then we just get those set to automatically pay each month of the year. So we're up to speed on that now, and we know how to calculate that from year to year. So I certainly wouldn't anticipate any problems with that going forward. And currently through the month of June, we are all up to date with those lease payments and those intergovernmental transfer payments. The next piece that you see here are the service commitments, and basically just to give any reports on the services that were that are provided to the community through through the hospital and care center, and if there's any changes to be able to report out to that to the group. In here, you can kind of see the Rice Home Medical, although it no longer officially rolls up through Rice Memorial Hospital, it rolls up through CentraCare. Still, all of those services are still provided to the community, and there hasn't been any change in services with Rice Home Medical. And the one I don't have on there that we'll be adding for our next meeting with the hospital board of directors is the EMS services. So the ambulance services that were provided to the city, those services have also been kind of centralized, or the operations have been rolled up through CentraCare, but again, hasn't changed any of the services that are provided to the city of Willmar. We still get very good EMS services to the city. So the next piece that we have here are the capital investments, and this is certainly something that we update every quarter just to let everyone know where we're sitting with that. In the terms of the agreement, we had committed to $32 million of capital that would be designated over the first 10 years of the agreement, right? And so what we're doing is we keep everyone up to speed as far as where we're at with that. And through here, you can see that, I'm gonna say kind of through May, it's really kind of June 3rd there, but through May, for life to date of the agreement, we have spent $12.7 million of capital to the hospital and the care center. And the other point of reference that we have there is if we were to evenly divide out that $32 million quarterly over the life, over the life of the agreement, those 10 years, we would expect to be sitting at about an $8 million commitment right now. So you can see, our 12.7 is, certainly ahead of that pace at this point. And then the last piece there is just the commitment around our audited financial statements, and the fact that, we would provide those audited financial statements to the city within 180 days of the fiscal year end, just to let us get through the audit and that type of thing. So our current fiscal year is going to be ending very soon, within the next week or so. It ends on September 30th of 2020. So right after that, we'll be heading straight into our audit. And that would probably usually take a couple months. And so just as soon as we can wrap up that audit for the year, we'll make sure to get those updated audited financial statements to the city, to Steve. And from my understanding, we're all caught up through the last fiscal year with June 30th of 19. So at that point, I think from everything of all the obligations, that are set forth in the agreement, I think that we are in compliance and up to date with everything. So I think that's what we wanted to communicate to the group. Mike, did I miss anything or anything else we wanted to bring up here?
No, I think that was good. Andy, I think the one thing you said was our fiscal year end being September, our fiscal year end being June 30th.
Oh, I'm sorry. Something. Yeah, I'm sorry. I probably misspoke. I did mean to say June 30th. That's right.
Yep. At the end of this month. So we'd be glad to take questions from the group.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Schramm, Mr. Rowling. Any questions anyone has of the information you received? Am I hearing silence? Go ahead, Mr. Elkins.
I would just like to add an update of the debt service, because the basically the rent payments are tied to the principal and interest payments for the debt. As of the end of last year, there was a little over $37 million still outstanding in debt. The debt service reserve account, which the city holds, and that's where the rent payments go into to secure the payments of principal and interest, stood at a little over $7 million. And so this year's debt service payment, principal and interest, is a little under $4 million. So the coverages and the bond covenants are all met. And that's another somewhat requirement of the lease, is that the bond covenants, since the city still holds the debt because of the call date, is all being met as well.
All right. Any other questions, Mr. Councilmember Plowman? Any questions?
I don't think so. Happy to see the capital investments that have been made exceeding the minimum required. That's obviously a great thing, both for the city, but for the facility as well. So happy to see that, and happy to see the positive changes that are coming in and around the community, as well as branding, signage, the kind of cohesive melding of the Caris and Centricare brands to all the facilities. I think that's an important piece as far as public outreach goes, and public health in general. So thank you.
Thank you. Council Member Asmus.
I'm good. No questions.
All right. How about you, Council Member Fagerly?
I just have a question on the ambulance. How is that depreciated out, or for the city's portion? Because when you took over the hospital, you took over everything, right?
Yeah, are you asking about the ambulance service, is that right?
Yeah, and the ambulance itself, and the mm-hmm. vehicles that go with the EMS yep. service.
Yep. Yeah, so those are on our books, and when that service went to Centricare, we did transfer, you know, kind of the I'm going to say the depreciation, the cost of those ambulances to Centricare. So those sit on their books right now. They're not officially on Rice's books. You know, I think from the level of service that's provided, it hasn't changed for the city of Willmar at all yet, or not, you know, it hasn't changed at all. You know, we're still getting the same level of service, you know, from that ambulance service. But, you know, yeah, a lot of that cost of providing that service has now transferred from Caris, from Rice Memorial, to Centricare. So they get the benefit of the revenue of providing that service, and then they have the cost on there.
All right. So if they're involved in an accident or something, the insurance covers it and would reimburse Centricare then, or Rice Hospital? And if an engine or something blows up, who's responsible for that then? Rice Hospital or Caris?
I believe that would be Centricare. That's a Centricare service now.
It would be, okay. Yep. All right, thank you.
All right, thank you. Mr. Elkins, I saw your hand, so.
Yeah, if I could just speak to a little bit of the assets of when the lease was established. There were really two classification of assets. There were leased assets, what were called leased assets, and transferred assets. The leased assets were primarily all the parcel properties and buildings and structures. And so there was roughly five to six parcels. It was Rice Hospital, the parking lots that are associated with that, the ambulance garage. Then there was Rice Rehab, Rice Care Center, and Home Medical. There were two home medical facilities and properties as well. So those were the leased assets, basically anything with a parcel number and a building on it. And those are still being recorded on the city books. All the other assets, or the transferred assets, were transferred to Caris Health as an entity. And so all the receivables, payables, or the liabilities, all that, ambulances, any kind of anything that was not a parcel or building would be on Caris Health's books.
All right. Thank you, Mr. Oakens. Are there any other questions for either Mr. Schramm or Mr. Rowling?
Just one other one. Now, you guys bought the old CD, whatever, auto parts store on the corner across from the hospital. Who bought that?
That's correct.
Rice Hospital or Center Care?
Yeah. Caris Health would have purchased that, yes.
Okay. So it's Center Care and then it's Caris, and we still have Rice Hospital Foundation.
That's correct. And Andy, maybe you want to comment on that, but it was Caris Health that purchased the property that the first building.
Okay, so that's on a separate parcel then. And if you guys ever sell it, the money would go to Center Care then.
I guess I'm not familiar enough to know. I would have to look into that. I'm not familiar enough with it to know.
All right.
I see Mr. Oakens has his hand up again.
Yeah, if that property, as Mike is explaining, was purchased by Caris Health, Caris Health would have it on their books. Now, Caris Health, and we can review this at maybe at a different time, but Caris Health forget the exact terminology, maybe Mike, you can help me. CentraCare is the sole owner of Caris Health.
That'd be correct, yep.
And Caris Health is its own not-for-profit entity, correct?
Yes. Well, Caris Health is a nonprofit subsidiary of CentraCare Health, which is a nonprofit health system. So ultimately, I mean, Caris Health acquired the property, but Caris Health is a subsidiary of CentraCare Health.
Okay. All right. Mr. Oakens, are you still get to?
Yeah. If you look at the last item on the screen when they're talking about the audited financial statements, you can look at CentraCare as basically the entity, and then Caris Health will be a department or a subsidiary of CentraCare in their financial audit, I believe is how that they plan on showing that. They have a number of different entities within CentraCare.
All right. Any other questions? Okay. Thank you very much, Mr. Rowling. I don't know if you have any other comments.
Thank you.
All right. Thank you.
Thank you, Andy.
Have a good night. Thank you very much.
Thank you.
Thank you. We'll talk again.
Okay, I forgot to, at the beginning of the agenda, you'll see that the last document you got today was not something listed on the agenda, and I was gonna ask to add it onto our agenda at this point in time, and I forgot to do that. So if everyone's okay, we will do that, and I will defer to Mr. Grammets to explain that document and what steps or what we need to do next.
All right. Well, the city was contacted by the Barn Theater as they are struggling like many other businesses in the city of Willmar, as well as the state of Minnesota, much less the whole United States. They have a cash flow problem, and one of the options that they are pursuing was the option of generating some cash to get through till next year would be to sell off the third floor of the building. This building has three loans against it. You'll see on the screen that the first loan will be paid off, the third loan would be paid off, but it is the document 619888, which has a lien on the property until June 21st of 2021. So in about a year from now, when it will be actually forgiven, it won't need to be paid back. So there is a clause in the loan that if they sell the property, and one could also fit in sell a part of the property, that they would have to pay the loan back. Well, they are not interested in paying the $29,000 loan back, but they are interested in getting the cash from the sale of the third floor. This is not something that we want to make a decision tonight about. I've had a discussion with the city attorney, and since this is a small city's funded program through the Wilmer HRA, then to the county EDC or the county HRA combination, as all those entities have interlocked and combined, there may not be the ability from the state level to allow this to happen. As the city attorney reported to me earlier today, last year he had another community want to do the same thing for one of their businesses and deed turned them down. They said, you can sell the property, but you got to pay the loan back. So we've got some questions that need to be answered at the deed level, at the state level. And then we also need to actually make a determination whether or not the city of Wilmer is the entity that would grant this exception to the loan, because the loan was actually provided by the HRA. So we've got some legal issues that we have to get through. I've asked the city attorney to contact their contacts at deed in order to see if we could start finding out what the answers are. It could very well be that given the current economic climate with COVID-19, that deed would say, hey, we're under orders to help out wherever we can, and if this helps out, we're going to do it. Or they could say, we've been turning everybody down for the last 20 years, and we're not going to allow this in Wilmer either. I don't know. But what I would suggest is allowing the city attorney to make those contacts, start gathering the information, and then determining who actually makes the, or who actually has the authority to approve this. It may not be the city. It might actually be the city county HRA, because they're the ones that actually issued the note in the first place. So I've got questions, city attorney has questions, and we'll have you know, more knowledge possibly in the next week, at which time if we wanted to have if the city was responsible for making that decision, then you know, we would want to call another finance meeting to address it, so we can get it to the city council in a expedited manner. But if we find out that it's the HRA's decision and not the city's, you know, I'll send a message out to the city council and say, this is not our decision to make, and we've handed it off to the HRA. So at this point in time, I've got some homework to do. Robert Scott's got some homework to do, and We'll get back to you on this at some point in the future. But either way, we'll try and move along as fast as we possibly can on this particular topic. So that's the background on it. So I don't know that there's necessarily anything we need to do at this point in time, except get the answers so that we know what our next move is, if there's any move whatsoever that the city has to do. It might be somebody else's call.
Thank you, Mr. Grammets. I just want you to know that we the city just received this letter today, and I had a phone call from Mr. Geiger, and I do feel the sense of urgency there, and I think we will do our best to see what we need to do next and what can be done with that. And so the HRA also, I think, has done some homework for Mr. Geiger on this. And so hopefully that won't take real long to get to the answers to the what needs to happen if we're able to do this. And so I did feel that sense of urgency. And I think, you know, the offer was made that if we can find a way to do this, that we would hold a special meeting to be able to bring it to the council at the next meeting. So I don't know if anybody else has any questions on this. I will look to you guys to see what you, if you have any questions, or we will wait for to report back. I'm not seeing anyone asking any questions. So if everyone's okay with that, we will move on to the next agenda item. Thank you. Thank you, Brian, for your work. All right, our next agenda item says 2020 Street Improvement Financing Update. Mr. Oakens.
Madam Chair, members of the committee, I just wanted to have this on the agenda to update the Finance Committee on where we're at in the 2020 street financing, as well as mention that we have started some discussions in regards to bonding for the local option sales tax projects as well. The 2020 street projects, we are in conversations with Bremer Bank, a local lending institution. They are still waiting to hear from the other lending institutions in the city as far as the amount that they are willing to participate in it. As in the past couple of years, we offer that to all lending institutions and finance it locally. They are also getting a market of if it would have been a public sale. And so we will have that information at our next finance meeting and finalize our 2020 street financing that's been approved at this point. Also, we are having discussions with timing as far as our local option sales tax, two projects that have been approved, that those being Robbins Island and Swanson Field. We've had discussions to the tune of that we could do a construction type loan. And then once the final numbers or we have determined how much needs to be bonded for, we can then do a bond later this fall and have a better idea of not only the amount that would be needed for bonding, but also what is happening with the collections as far as sales tax. As I talked to the Invest in Wilmer Group, the collections, actual collections for April and May, which were closed down, I mean, basically businesses closed down 100%. For those that were, we will not know those actual numbers until August. So we would bring back a proposal to finance those two projects for sure, and any additional ones that the council may take action on between now and then, and do one bond issue with different facets for the different projects so that they can be accounted for and comply with the ordinance and the state statute. So at our next finance meeting, we will have the final recommendations, and the pricing committee will have a recommendation for the 2020 street improvement projects. And hopefully we will have an update on the local option sales tax financing as well. So with that, I'd be happy to answer any questions.
All right, is there any questions for Mr. Oakens on that information? You guys are quiet tonight. All right. We'll accept that information and move on to the next item, which is state financial information update. Mr. Oakens, anything new?
I have not actually received anything coming out of the state capitol. For those that have been following the Senate and the House, and I know that Mr. Grommets and Chairman Nelson have some more updates too, as far as conversations with the Coalition of Minnesota Cities and the League of Minnesota Cities, but there's been no official notifications coming to the city that I've received.
Mr. Grommets, you're shaking your head. Is that your words of wisdom?
I've not received anything either. And as we were kind of talking before the meeting, while we were waiting to start, there's people already asking, when can we get the money? And how do we get the money? And what programs can we operate? And we've got nothing. So it's going to take some time to get this trickling down, you know, to the cities. And I'm sure the legislature and the governor will work as hard as they can to proceed with a program so that the money can get to cities and counties and other local levels of government. But no information at this time.
I would just comment that I was contacted by the coalition today with just a concern that the House had sent the CARES information to the Ways and Means Committee, and so they had not heard anything back yet with that. As of this afternoon, anyway, I hadn't heard anything with that. And there seems to be a debate on, not quite sure with the whether with where Governor Walz is, where the legislature is, and so that was just a concern about it sitting there. The second concern was is that the Senate apparently has made a statement, or the leadership has, that they plan to be done tomorrow, that the special session in their mind goes through tomorrow, and if they're not done, they're not done, and they plan to go home. And so there was kind of a request to, if you have a contact with Senator Lang, just to reach out and to ask them to stay the course. Yes, they've done it's sitting in the House right now with the CARES Act, but there's a lot of other things that are still pending. And so if you so desire to reach out and ask the legislature or ask our representative and senator to finish the business before they go home or to stay the course to get it done, I think that would be the request that I was hearing, just a concern that that they will go home and not finish. And so it leaves a question with what things will be decided and where we're at on our finances and some of that. So if you wish to do that, that's the only thing that I was told information as of this time is that nobody knows. And the other thing, you probably can leave a message, but the other message was is that they're all sort of hunkering down and it's hard to correspond with them right now. So, and it's a difficult year, I think, but I think for me, I think I struggle, and I'm not on either side, but I struggle with this. Seems to be a pattern for the last years of legislature that we have left with things unfinished. And so just with our city hats on, I think we need to ask them to finish their business. So I'll quit with that. Anybody else, any questions or comments? All right. Then we will move on to future agenda items. Is there any council requests for future agenda? Not hearing anything there either. Sales tax status reports, anything, Steve? That just for future?
We will have it. Pardon me?
We'll just wait for that report. Is that what you've got it on here for?
Yes, that's right. This will be in the next finance agenda. The same with the as-bid budgets for the 2020 street project.
Okay. All right. Is there any other questions or comments before we look to adjourn? I see Andrew shaking his head. Julie? Rick? All right, we will call it a night, and I will ask for a motion to adjourn.
So moved.
Second.
All right, thank you very much. We are adjourned. Have a good night.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you, Steve.
Yep, good night.
Good night.